Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad day, the broken day, the bad apple, the bad attitude, hanging around you. Bad attitude, bad day, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Ooh. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be all my friend and come around, that's a fashion party, rants on the west side, bed bugs uptown, but a man's just time to chat, and rampages splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah, yeah. 87, 82. Rockets right now, six left. And the Jazz hitting free throws, your boy Spida. 87, 83, four-point game. A good one in D.C., the Capitals and Canes tied at threes. Your boy Jordan Staal, 3 minutes into the third, basically, tying it up from Slavin. And then earlier, you had a 2-0 Washington lead. Burakovsky, 1, Wilson, 2, then Aho, a shorty, gets him involved, 2-1, and then Kuznetsov, 3-1, and then Tara Vinen is third of the playoffs, 3-2, then Staal, 3-3. We're going to the extra session in our nation's capital. It's all rocking. Will the Capitals choke out and lose to the Canes, or will they advance to meet the Islanders and have home ice, or will the Islanders get home ice at their fake home? Against the Canes, they prey on the weak and feeble and penniless in Brooklyn to take advantage of people. That's why they play there. The league wants them to play in Brooklyn because they can get better drugs there, right near the arena in terms of scoring. Yeah. Are we on the air? Check 1-2-1-2. 90-86, Rocket. Carver, what do you think of the Canes hanging tough tonight and never going away? Do you think Justin Williams will have the game winner?
You never know. Look, I think a lot of heart here from the Canes. I thought when the Caps got up 2-0 in the first period that this game was over. Defending champs, they're building, all the momentum. Canes have never been here before. I thought that they would shut this game down. A lot of juice, a lot of heart from them coming back and tying it. We know what happens now. The smallest bounce. And you could be going home. So the Canes have put themselves in a position where they're going to play free and loose in this overtime.
I cannot believe that they gave up a shorty to get a that
that got him started. The Aho shorty got him going.
That woke him up. And then you go up 3-1, you blow that 2-goal lead.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's written in stone, right? You blow two-goal leads, you got to lose. You just got to lose. You got to lose. You had 2-2-goal leads and blew them both. You got to lose. That's all there is to it. We'll see what happens. Later tonight, obviously, Mavi is very excited because he's got heavy action going on the Warriors, who seldom come out to play, yay, taking on the Clippers at Oracle in the East Bay, yay, in the city, by the bay, yay, in the way, yay. And then Carver High has notified me that the Yankees are on momentarily in Anaheim. I should watch that once the hockey game's over. This is what I've been advised to do. So the Rockets have the slim lead right now, 90-88, under 5 to go in a timeout. Reports say Redskins owner Daniel Snyder has taken over the team's draft, apparently looking to move into the top 5. How's this going to work out for the Skins? Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill will not have charges filed against him by the DA after saying a crime was committed against the child, but there's no conclusive evidence as to who committed it. Hill will still face a suspension from the NFL if they conduct their own investigation Will Hill gets suspended by the NFL. Can you imagine that? It's like they know, right? Do they not know that the kid was abused, but they can't pin it on the woman or him, and so they're not going to charge anybody? Why don't they just charge both of them? I mean, aren't they in charge of the kid? Like, aren't they responsible for the kid? Like, are you kidding me that they're going to let these two, that the kid was, they definitely feel, the DA, the police, everybody, right? The prosecutor, they all feel without a doubt that the kid was abused, right? Am I wrong? And then they're just going to let these two walk? I mean, that is unbelievable to me. I mean, what's next? You're going to let him go home with him? You're going to let him go home and beat him some more? I mean, honestly, they obviously, this is not the first time either, is it, Garber? Multiple cop, didn't they go there multiple times for incidents with the kids?
Allegedly, yeah.
Well, how about allegedly this guy shouldn't be a father? How's that sound? How's that for allegedly? My God, like how many times do you have to have the police come and Dyfus to your door because you got a problem treating the kids well before they finally take them away from you? Honestly, or put you in jail? How is that possible? Someone explain that to me, that those two got off.
I don't get it.
How is the kid beaten and then no one does anything about it? That's truly unbelievable. That's like letting chicks get raped. You know what I mean? Like, let's just let them get, we don't believe them. You got to believe the multimillionaire athlete that raped her. You don't believe her, do you? I mean, why would you listen to her? You know what I mean? It's the same kind of thing. Can you imagine they let two adults that beat a kid off? Are you kidding me? I mean, what kind of world are we living in? Seriously. I mean, I honestly, does that not just freak anybody out at all? Like, that is embarrassing. And what's next? He's going to have a Pro Bowl season? Going to have 20 touchdowns? Give him the rock. And what does he do when he goes home at night? Beats his kids? Well, it sounds like it to me. Okay, so I'm entitled to my opinion. I think the guy beats kids. Okay, how's that sound?
Certainly seems that way.
But far be it for me to say something like that with him, you know, doing it. Okay, he's doing it. I'm saying it. How's that sound? Like, are you kidding me? Like, honestly, what a joke. Where is that, in Kansas City? Nice job you've done there, the prosecutor, the DA, the police. You've done a terrific job. The welfare of the kids, obviously, at an utmost for all of you people. Enjoy the Royals season. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, what is going on there, for Christ's sakes? Ben Roethlisberger, grateful for his new deal. I'll bet he's grateful. He's making $30 million.
What, he get 60-something over 2 years? He got a lot of coin, right?
He got a lot of coin. $30 million in both the first 2 years, so he's like the top three paid quarterbacks in the league, right? There you go. Kyler Murray stands at minus 400 favorite to still be the first pick of the draft. And then Nick Bosa. Gee, what a revelation that is. I got your top endorsers in the NFL draft class. Murray, Haskins, Paris Campbell. No one even knows who that is. Daniel Jones, Devin White, Josh Jacobs, the running back from Bama. Drew Locke, Miles Sanders of Penn State. Does anyone know who that is? Hunter Renfro, we know who that is, the receiver from Clemson. And Bryce Love, the running back from Stanford. All Jordan Brand, apparently. I guess your boy Kyler Murray was busy today blowing off the charity event in Nashville he was supposed to be at. Nice start for his professional career, missing the charity event the day before the draft. Whoops.
Well, I heard today or somebody said that the only way he's going there tomorrow night is if he knows he's going to be the number one overall pick.
So is he stuck up?
He's not going to go sit in the green room. Like, if he doesn't know he's going to be one, allegedly, now this is allegedly, he's not going to go sit in the green room unless he knows he's going to be the first pick going.
So he doesn't want to go unless he's number one.
Correct.
He's very, very professional. Very spoiled, very important person. All that matters. If I'm not number one, I'm going to go home. I'm just going to go home.
Seems that way.
I don't want to be with all the others. I'm better than them, so I'm going to go home. To my mommy.
That could give you a hint if you see him sitting there tomorrow night when the draft starts that you know what could be
Justin
going on.
Tucker, a 4-year, $23 million deal with the Ravens. The guy's a great kicker. One other thing I just wanted to say. The guy's son now kicks 40-yarders, and he's 2 years old. Have you seen the kid's child kick field goals? Honestly, the kid is kicking like 40-yarders. He's 2 years old. He's in a binky, and he's nailing 40-yarders. I saw a video the other day. Adam ranks up first on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, just so you know, I might interrupt Adam when this overtime is going on. If somebody scores a goal, obviously I'll freak out for whoever wins the game. Obviously, this is a big overtime here. Game 7 in D.C., the Capitals and the Canes. They've already the Canes had a shot already of scoring in the overtime. They almost did it, actually. And massive playoff. What?
We're the 10th overtime in this playoffs, which matches all of last year.
The whole Stanley Cup playoffs?
Whole Stanley Cup playoffs last year had 10 overtimes. This year, the first round has had 10.
I mean, they're getting great shots on goal. You can just feel it coming, can't you? It's the Canes, I think. I don't know. I really don't care who wins. I'm just telling you. Carver High, they're getting shots on goal. Fogle just got another one with nobody around him, a wrister. I mean, just dead on the goalie. Like, if you're going to get all those, you're going to win.
Since Stahl tied the game early in the third, Carolina has had, except for that one that almost trickled in.
That
Carolina
was the one they almost scored on by his toe, too. They had two of them. It was like a drag shot from the point. Playoff action every night. PharrellOnTheBench.com, your source for picks. NBA, NHL, baseball, boxing, MMA. Sign up today. The best picks, the best price, the best results. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Episode 208 of Pharrell on the Bets tomorrow on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, Google Play. Subscribe and follow us on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. Adam Rank with NFL Network joins us on the bench. How you been, Adam?
Oh, I'm wonderful. You know, it's draft time again, another one of those tentpole events for the NFL, and I'm ready for it.
So let me start, first of all, by asking you a few questions about the league. What did you think of Roethlisberger's deal?
I thought it was very interesting. Like, wasn't this guy going to retire like 4 years ago? Wasn't he threatening? Like, oh, this is it for me. I don't know if I can keep going on. Then they draft Landry Jones, and he's like, or Mason Rudolph, and they're like, oh, I'm playing for 30 years now. All of a sudden, he's extended through 40 to age 40. But, you know, it's what they had to do. I mean, the Steelers, you know, they made the commitment to him. They shipped away Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell's going to be playing for the New York Jets. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are content with just kind of cycling through. They got Juju. They got James Conner, and they knew that they got their guy, Ben Roethlisberger. They think they can make a run for it. So, I mean, you got to do it. So, I mean, it's a lot of money, but he has been playing pretty well over the last couple of years, even though he's threatened to retire every once in a while.
Are you surprised that, you know, Bell didn't show up for the Jets, you know, mini camp work stuff that they had going on?
No, it's kind of on brand. You know, if you've taken some time off, it's always tough to come back immediately. You might need an extra day. You might need a late checkout or anything you want to do or anything like that. But, you know, these players, it just seems like they've become more sophisticated with the way that they train their bodies, and sometimes they get a better grip of how they're performing just by working out by themselves. And I think the word is voluntary. Like, it's voluntary. If my work wants me to come in voluntarily, I'm saying no as well. So I kind of feel him on that, but I also understand at the same time, you know, you're coming off a year in which you did not play, that perhaps if you wanted to make a good impression on your new team, perhaps you would go out there and show up. But to me, unless this really starts to drag out for a long time, it doesn't concern me at all.
All right. So what about the Redskins? The story now that Daniel Snyder is upset. He's taking over everything and making the decisions and calling the shots. Well, he's the owner. He can do whatever he wants. Do you think they're actually going to trade up into the top five and get a big quarterback?
It seems like they've got to address the position. They can't go into the season with who they've got going right now. And it's time to make a big move. The one thing, though, that I always kind of I'm curious about, because if the Cardinals are going to go Kyler Murray, and a lot of people still think that they're going to, if you're looking at this crop of quarterbacks, isn't Josh Rosen better than the guys who are coming out right now? I mean, if you were going to sit there and if you've got Washington's pick, and I think it's number 15, and the Cardinals want to move Josh Rosen because they have to, because they can't keep both quarterbacks, why wouldn't you just, instead of trading up for somebody who's probably not going to be as good, why not take a run at Josh Rosen? I understand that you want to make a big splash and it's exciting on draft night when your team moves into the top 10 or the top five. But to me, the play is just to go after Rosen. And if Dan Snyder's taken over and wants to make some moves, that's exactly what I would advise him to do.
So are you on board that Kyler Murray is going to be the number one? And you've heard all these stories tonight. Like, Carver Hyde told me that this guy, there's a rumor that if he's not number one, he's not going to go to the green room. He's not going to go to the draft. Or what is going on with that?
Well, I think there's a lot of smoke signals going on right now. The Cardinals kind of played themselves. They let their eagerness show a little bit too much early in this process, and they really fell head over heels with Kyler Murray. And listen, I don't want to besmirch them for that. Like, you like who you like. You know, this is Cliff Kingsbury. It's his first season. It's kind of like The Bachelor. Like, Colton wanted a Cassidy. There was nobody else. He could have had his pick of any of the other girls, but his heart wants what it wants. And so they went after that girl. And similarly, the Cardinals are going to go after Kyler Murray. They're going to draft him. The only thing is you've got to kind of drive the price up because you have to deal Josh Rosen. You can't have both guys on the roster. So now they're kind of stuck in a position to where, like, no. They have to play the game of, like, we don't know what we're doing. But they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They're going to take Kyler Murray. But they have to act like they're not because they want the Giants or the Dolphins or the Redskins or even a team like the Chargers who could be looking for their heir apparent to Phillip Rivers, you know, when he is ready to retire in a couple of years. They're also in the mix. So you got to get these teams bidding against themselves. And the only way you can do that is by telling everybody, like, yeah, we're undecided, even though in the back of their minds they know exactly what they're doing.
Adam Rank, what is NFL Network? Do you think the Giants are going to get Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins? Do you think that the Giants are going to do that at 6, or are they going to get a defensive star at 6 and then worry about the quarterback at 17?
Yeah, I think they're just going to have Eli play for another 200 games and not even address the quarterback. No, I'm just
awesome.
Kidding. Sitting there at number 6, I do believe that they're going to have to end up taking the defensive stud. If it's somebody like Ed Oliver falls to them, maybe Josh Allen falls to them. You know, this is one of the things about this draft is that there's a lot of good defensive talent that's kind of going underneath the radar because of everything with Kyler Murray and Nick Bosa are kind of stealing the headlines. But the Giants are in a great spot. If you're sitting there back there at number 17, Daniel Jones could be projected to go there. There's also, you know, some other prospects too. So I don't think that they have to panic. I know that them and the Redskins are in the mix. I know that Drew Locke is another guy who could possibly be available too, and Haskins. I mean, there's a lot of guys they can go after. But I think with the way that Gettleman's setting this up, I think he's comfortable enough going with Eli Manning for another year or two. You know, he was in the same draft class as Ben Roethlisberger, and he's been extended for 3 years. So perhaps the Giants feel like they've got their guy. And instead, let's just go build that defense. When you have multiple picks, sometimes it behooves you to just go out there, load up on defense, and try to win that side of the football and let your veteran quarterback just not necessarily become a game manager, but just go out there and just do what he does best, because that's how the Giants won their previous two Super Bowls, with a stellar defense. So perhaps Gettleman's looking at that, and you look at his track record in Carolina, and perhaps – maybe that's where his head is at.
Adam Rank with his NFL Network. Do you think the Raiders will do well with the 3 number ones, or will they screw it up?
No, I'm a big fan of Mike Mayock, so I think that he's going to have this on lockdown. There's another team that could possibly be in the market for a quarterback, but I think they're good with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is just a few years removed from his spectacular 2016 season, which got him that huge contract, which made them the quarterback of the future for the Raiders. And now you've finally surrounded him with a little bit of talent. Now you got Antonio Brown there. You got Tyrell Williams, which was kind of an underrated signing. The offensive line is starting to come together. So if I'm the Raiders, the thing I do is I sit there and, again, whatever defense, you've got so many holes on defense, take the best defensive player there at number 4. You're going to get another good defensive player at the end of the first round too, where you got pick number 27. And number 24, you could also, if you don't want to go defense right there, if you don't want to address it with a cornerback or a linebacker or something like that, Josh Jacobs could be there for the taking. Now, obviously, Marshawn Lynch is retired. John Gruden had already intimated that he was going to move on. So Josh Jacobs looks like a pretty good prospect. And if he lands with the Raiders at number 24, there's another problem solved. So I wouldn't go a quarterback at all. And I think the Raiders are going to come out. I'm biased. I know Mike Mayock. He was a colleague of mine, colleague of ours. He was on those top 10 shows. So I think he's going to go out there and knock it out of the park.
Right. I love doing the top 10 shows with Adam Rank. Can you hang out and do another segment, talk more draft with us, or do you got to go?
Let's do it. I'm in.
All right. We'll talk more. I want to ask him about Cleveland Farrell. Some people have him going way at the bottom of the first round. How is that possible? That guy's an absolute badass.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save money. Switch to Geico, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Adam Rank, NFL Network, is with us. One other note, they're in overtime, 8.5 left in D.C., tied at threes. Hagelin leveled the Carolina goalie Mrazek. I mean, leveled him, knocked him on his ass, just absolutely leveled him, and it's clearly should have been a penalty. No call at all. It was like they never saw it, so they're obviously not going to call anything. But I got to tell you really quickly, the Caps are playing like no problem. We got this in the bag. Don't worry. It's all under control. Nothing to fear. No sweat. Take it easy. Just chill. We're going to win this game. The Canes are actually dominating the overtime, dominating the possession, dominating the shots, dominating on attempts. I mean, it is unbelievable they haven't scored yet, to be honest with you. But you know, the Cavs have played like this is just absolutely no problem whatsoever that they got this. And they look to me like they're not taking it. It just seems like they're not taking it seriously. It really is. It's like the other team's doing, I mean, they are really pressing and going for it and trying to win this game. And the Cavs are just like, oh, don't worry, it'll come to us. It's going to happen eventually. Don't worry, we're going to win. We're going to get this. And maybe they will. Maybe they very much will. And they'll finish them off. But they don't look like it to me, Carver. You got to admit.
No, the Caps right now look like that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And the Canes are pressing them right now.
All right, Adam. So I might interrupt you if a puck goes in. But let me ask you. There's several.
Please do. Please. By the way, was there not a 5-minute major on hitting a goalie, or was that just last night?
That was just last night. They only do that in San Jose. You have to be in the Silicon Valley to get that call.
Okay.
And have rich friends. Cleveland Farrell, why do people have him so low in the first round? That guy's a monster.
Yeah, it's just one of those pre-draft things where guys start to tumble a little bit, and it's really sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And I think that anytime you start putting together mock drafts or anything like that, people just kind of – it seems like guys slip through the radar, because I'm with you. I think he's a great player. I'm trying to figure it out myself as I go through mock drafts, and I'm like, what is happening here? But it's just one of those things. I also think, too, you know, this is one of the things with the draft, especially now, with the way the quarterback position is. There's no risk to taking a quarterback because of the way the rookie wage scale is. Like back a couple of years ago, back when Sam Bradford and all those guys were coming through, it was dangerous to take a quarterback because you could get locked into a huge contract. So you end up getting guys jumping up into the first round who might not have necessarily been a first-round quarterback. Daniel Jones might not have been a first-round quarterback a couple of years ago. Dwayne Haskins might not have been a first-round quarterback a couple of years ago. So it kind of jumbles the board, but it also shows that these teams that are later on in the draft actually get really nice value because of the volatility with everything going on.
So which guy do you think is better? Because I like both of them a lot. Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush, the two, one guy's a rusher, another a linebacker, but both at Michigan. I don't care about their record or not winning against Ohio State or anything else. I honestly think both of those guys are NFL-ready badasses.
No, I'm with you as well. And I think that Devin Bush is one of those guys, again, who, you know, slots in pretty nicely. He could go anywhere from 10 to 15 and come in and just play an immediate role with that team. I think that the Broncos could be a team that could be looking at him. They need somebody there right there in the middle. So, again, this is just one of those guys. It's funny to me, too, like looking at some of these studs that Michigan has coming out. Again, you look back. It's funny when you look at, like, LSU when they had Jarvis Landry and OBJ and they had Jeremy Hill and these other studs coming out. And you're like, how did they not win? When we're going through the draft process now with all these Michigan players, you're like, what is that? Why were they not more successful? Because I think Devin Bush – it's a great player, and I think that they're turning out a lot of talent, and it's just kind of puzzling to me that they aren't able to at least translate it a little bit. I think Rashawn Gary is a perfect example of that, too, and he's somebody that, if he fall, again, there's somebody who's going to go probably somewhere in the 20s, you know, perhaps. I don't know if he fits for the Steelers, but somebody like the Seahawks, the Ravens, even the Lions picking in that spot as well, or the Raiders, you know, like that is a great value of somebody who can come in and make a huge impact.
So, Adam Rankwood is NFL Network. Do you are you buying or selling this DK Metcalf guy that everybody's so lapped up in after his combine numbers?
Yeah, that's one of the things, too, that I'm always a little bit hesitant to jump on board with somebody like that, because obviously when you see him with his shirt off, he looks like a WWE wrestler. He looks like Goldberg in his prime, and you're like, whoa, this guy's rocked up. And, of course, he went out there and put out an absolute show, going out there and playing, you know, at the combine and running around in his spandex with the Under Armour logo on it and everything like that. But sometimes people tend to overlook guys who are just really good at football. I remember a couple of years ago when Cooper Kupp was coming out of the draft, he was great in the Senior Bowl. And you're like, this guy knows how to play football. I understand he was at a smaller school like Eastern Washington, but he's obviously a proficient football player. Then he went to the combine, and his 40 time was, and then everybody just clutched their pearls. They're like, oh my God, this guy can't play. And obviously he was probably the low key MVP of that Rams team last year. So I'm always hesitant when I see somebody who's, hey, this guy's a great combine guy. Whereas, you know, I watch a lot of Oklahoma games and you see Marquise Brown go out there and play like an NFL type player. I would rather have him over, you know, somebody who is kind of a combine creation.
Do you think, let's go back to the Redskins for a second, that they're after the kid Haskins actually at the end of the day because he's like, you know, from Maryland and everything, and that's who they're gung-ho for?
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, that is the nebulous connection right there, but Dwayne Haskins is a good quarterback. Like, he's put up pretty good statistics. I think that I saw something this week where he rates favorably with somebody like Sam Bradford when he was coming out of college. And Sam Bradford, you know, injuries aside, was actually a really good quarterback, was really good on the NFL level. And anytime you get somebody who throws, you know, what, 50 touchdowns in a big-time major college football conference, I like the way he's – I like him. I like him as a prospect and everything like that. I think that if the Redskins do have their sights set on him, they're probably going to have to move up, because I think a low-key, sneaky landing spot for him, although this is starting to pick up a little bit of buzz over the last couple of weeks, is Ohio State. You know, one of these teams, again, like perhaps it's coming to that time to where they might have to part ways with Andy Dalton. And they look, you know, last year they took Billy Price. Now you can get Dwayne Haskins. Who knows? Maybe you just try to replicate what's going down in Columbus or up in Columbus or whatever. So I think it's an interesting situation. And if the Redskins do want to make a splash, I think I could see them moving to number 8 with the Detroit Lions, somebody who would want to probably move down a little bit. So if they're going to do what I think they have to do, I think they have to jump ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Do you buy or sell this Montez Sweat that everybody's all gung-ho about?
I kind of like him. You know, he's somebody that I didn't see a lot of when he was playing college football. You know, sometimes these guys just kind of slip through, and Mississippi State hasn't been playing very well over the last couple of years. So he kind of slipped through, but going back and watching some of their games, I don't like to watch individual plays. I like to watch the way the games kind of work themselves out. And when you see Sweat on the field, he's obviously an elite level talent, you know, and obviously he's got some questions with his heart condition, which is throwing some people off. But when you look at a guy just based on talent alone and how productive he was, if he didn't have this medical issue, I think he's somebody who could easily go into the top 10. I'm curious to see how far he falls. If he's going to get into the teams, if he's going to get towards the end of the draft, and then you start thinking about some of those really good teams that are at the end of the draft there in the first round. I mean, even a team like the Raiders who have 3 picks, like that's somebody who could gamble on a player like that. So I'm curious to see where he ends up going.
Who do you like better, Adam? Josh Allen, the kid out of Kentucky, or Devin White out of LSU? Or are they just peas in a pod, both the same super talented guys? Either or, they'll both be good.
Yeah, I think that both these guys are as close to can't-miss prospects as you can get. And it really just depends on what teams are looking for. I think Josh Allen, you know, he's one of those great pass rushers that can get to the quarterback and really kind of turn a defense. And again, this is a situation where right here at spot 4, 5, and 6, where he could be available. You know, if the Raiders, again, if they're looking for, I mean, they need help all over the place. There's really not a defensive player they should be turning up their nose to, whether it's Ed Oliver. They could even go with Devin White if they wanted to. But I think Josh Allen is kind of intriguing. And again, somebody that I didn't see a lot of during the season. Kentucky games were not, unfortunately, even though Kentucky played very well, they weren't on my radar. But going back and watching, again, this is just another guy who jumps off the screen when you're watching games back. And again, you know, I'll take these guys over the combine darlings, but I think Josh Allen is going to be a superstar in this league.
Lastly, I think if the Jets end up getting Quinn and Williams, let's say it's Murray, Bosa, then Williams. If the Jets get Quinn and Williams and they got Le'Veon Bell, you know, I hate to admit it, I think the Jets end up winning the draft. I mean, I know there's a lot of rounds. I understand all that. But if they got Le'Veon Bell and they get this badass up front on their defensive line, I honestly think they win.
100%. I'm with you. Again, this is just one of those things in the circumstance of the Cardinals falling in love with Kyler Murray. This has drawn a guy who could probably go first overall. He's got that kind of talent, and he probably, you know, I'm not going to rule it out too, but I still think the Cardinals are going with the quarterback. But Quinnen Williams is a stud, and anybody who's coming out of that Alabama program and he's manning the middle and as dominant as he was as a collegiate player, he's going to come into the next level and be just as good. And the Jets, you know, they're starting to build a nice little low-key defense. A couple of years ago, they snagged Jamal Adams. If you get somebody like Quinnen Williams in there, to be the anchor of that defense. And that's, you know, that's really where a lot of it starts, is that, you know, too many times you get wrapped up in the statistics and quarter, you know, sacks and everything like that. But somebody who can command a lot of attention from the offensive line, you got to double team him. He can push the line of scrimmage back. He can make quarterbacks uncomfortable, that even if he's not sacking a quarterback, just being in his face. And I think about, you know, how Tom Brady gets flustered when you rush him up the middle. I think this guy is tailor-made to play in the AFC East, and you put him on that offensive line, and Tom Brady is not going to be a heavy camper, and I think he comes out there, and he's going to be a big-time player.
Adam, great stuff tonight. I love it. Adam Rank, NFL Network. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy the draft.
Listen, the pleasure was always, as always, is on this side of the phone, and I can't wait to once again run into you at the D or the Golden Gate, or whatever we're going to do. We'll go play some Sigma Derby. We'll go watch some Spandex Nation. But it's always great talking to you, and you as well. Enjoy the draft.
All right, there he is. Adam Rank, I love you, brother. There you go. Still overtime. A minute and a half left and rolling in D.C. They have not figured this out yet, but a chance here for Carolina. Oh, he fanned on it. Oh, he fanned on the game winner on a 2-on-1 break. Carver High, the fan.
Unbelievable.
Swing and a miss to glory. Had this glory open net, and he fanned on it. The guy will never live it down. His girlfriend's going to leave him.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.